You know, there's some things in life that you understand and maybe are able to explain to others a little bit better when you're able to talk about contrast, when you're able to talk about what something is not. Maybe talk about something that's an opposite of something else. Sometimes when you talk about contrast, then you understand the reality a little bit better. What I mean by that is maybe you can help me. If I were to say, you know, if we were talking about contrast and we talk about, well, this is up, but this is down. They're two different things. They're two opposites. And so you understand up, and you understand what down is because it's the complete opposite of up. You know, if we talk about something being in, well, we know that that is not out. Complete opposite. You talk about those contrasts. You know, they've got cold weather up north. Well, we don't believe in that down here. So you got the cold weather, and the opposite of that is South Florida. You got the hot weather down here. And so when we talk about contrast, it helps us to maybe understand what something is when we're able to understand what it's not. You know, God uses that kind of terminology too. God, in order to help us to understand things, will use contrasts in order to do that. And so you know that if we talk about light, that the opposite of that, the contrast of that, is to talk about darkness. Well, God used that. And so in John chapter 1, he talked about Jesus being the light of men. Well, what does that indicate? His emphasis there is to talk about what Jesus was and who he was when he came into a world not of light. Jesus didn't come into a world of light. He came into a world that was very, very dark. And so this morning, I want you to think about Jesus in John chapter 1 being called the light of men. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles there. We're going to spend just a few minutes here, John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And I want you to think about not just what it's saying about Jesus, but when we get to that, we're going to talk about two things in this passage this morning. We're going to talk about what it says about Jesus, but then we're going to talk about what does this say about me? What does this have to do with me, this idea of Jesus being the light of men? Well, when you turn to this text, you're going to find the word light about seven times just in these few verses here. So God's really emphasizing this idea of light and the idea of the contrast between light and darkness. But look in John chapter 1 and verse 5. What does it say about Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 5? It says that Jesus is the light who constantly shines in darkness. If you've got the word shines in verse 5, it's in the Greek present tense, which indicates that Jesus is always shining in the darkness. Jesus doesn't have an off switch. He doesn't have a dimmer switch where you can kind of dial him back any. Jesus is constantly shining. As the light, as the truth, he's constantly shining in darkness. And that's the contrast that God wants us to see. When God uses light, he's talking about truth as opposed to error. When he talks about light, he's talking about moral uprightness as opposed to something that might be considered moral corruption. Jesus comes into the world and he's the light. He is constantly shining in darkness. His light is such that his light comes along and it exposes darkness. John chapter 3, if you were to flip over one page in John chapter 3 and verse 20, talks about the fact that evil, the darkness, the evil hates the light. Evil hates the light, John chapter 3 and verse 20, and it doesn't come to the light. You know why evil doesn't come to the light? That verse says, because evil doesn't want its deeds exposed. Jesus is constantly exposing sin. He's constantly exposing darkness. And so evil doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus because he's the light. That's the nature of light. It exposes darkness. The nature of light is that it dispels darkness. You ever walked into a dark room and turned on the light? Where'd the darkness go? I mean, it's gone. They cannot coexist. You flip on that light switch and it dispels the darkness. 1 John 1 and verse 5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Where Jesus is, he's constantly shining the light of truth. Where Jesus is, he's constantly exposing that which is contrary to truth, that which is in darkness. He's constantly dispelling it. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came into this world? We wouldn't know truth. We wouldn't know the fullness of truth if it were not for Jesus. If it weren't for Jesus coming into this world of darkness, guess where we would be? We'd still be in that world of darkness, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But it's not just that he is shining his light. Look down in verse 9. Verse 9 says, Jesus was the true light which gives light to who? Gives light to every man. And again, the word gives is in the present tense, which indicates that this is something that Jesus constant. But who is he giving his light to in verse 9? He's giving it to everybody. Jesus did not come to only give his light to a certain group of people. Jesus' light of truth is designed for everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says God wants all men to come to the truth. He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the light of Christ. Light of Christ is designed for everybody. The light of Christ does not show partiality. That's what John 1 and verse 9 is saying, that his light is for every person. Can you imagine God coming into this world? Jimmy said it in presiding at the Lord's table this morning. He talked about that God came down in the form of a man. Can you imagine God coming into this world and God showing partiality? Well, I'm only here to save a certain group of people. That's not your God. Your God came to shine the light of truth for everybody to see. And look at one more thing regarding Jesus back in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. And your translation may say a different thing here. New King James says the darkness did not comprehend it. So here comes the light of Christ into the world. And one translation says the darkness, it didn't comprehend the light. Well, that's true. They didn't fully understand who Christ was. But other translations will say that the darkness couldn't overtake him. The darkness could not overpower him. You go into your bathroom at night and you turn on the light switch, the darkness flees. Can the darkness come back and overtake the light? I know some of you in your brains are thinking, well, you know, if the electricity goes off, or you know, if the light bulb, you know, if the filament burns out, I mean, you're going. But when that light is on, what can the darkness do? Darkness can't do anything. Darkness can't come and overtake the light, can't overpower. And that's what John 1 and verse 5 is saying. That darkness cannot overpower your Savior. Darkness cannot overtake the light of Christ. He comes into this world to save of all of mankind. And you're like, okay, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me? What does the fact that Jesus is the light of all men, what does that have to do with me? We learn in Scripture that while he's the light for all men, that's what he wants me to be. And so I want to ask you just a few questions on this slide. I want to ask you, am I like Jesus? Jesus comes and he shines his light all of the time. All of the time. He's always shining his light. Am I? Is the light of Christ always shining with me? Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, let your light so shine before me. Is it always? Or are there days where maybe my light's not shining today? Light of Christ is always shining. He wants our lights to always be shining. But what about this? Is my light always shining for everybody? It's really easy for our lights to shine here. It's really easy to have a good attitude here. It's really easy to act like Jesus here. It's really easy for us to have a good influence on those who are around us here. But are we doing anything by which we're practicing partiality that we're not letting that same light shine for everybody else? Are there people in our lives who need the gospel of Christ, but for some reason we're holding it back? For some reason, we're not allowing them to see that light shine through us. Is there any part of our life where we are allowing evil, we're allowing darkness to overtake us? Jesus, the light of Christ, no, darkness cannot overtake him. But if I allow things to come into my, if I allow the devil to get a foothold in my life, then darkness can overcome if I allow it. And so as we think about Jesus as the light of men, I want to ask, am I like Jesus? But look in verse 6, 7, and 8, and I want to ask you, am I like John? We're introduced in John chapter 1 to John the Baptist. Not John the Apostle who's writing the book, but John the Baptist. And I want you to see what this text says about John, and I want you to ask yourself, am I like John? The Bible says that John recognized that he was not the light. And so it says in verse 7, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That was his job. Do I know that my job is the same job as John, to bear witness of the light? In other words, do I know that I am here to tell other people that I'm not the light, to tell other people that they need to know Jesus Christ? That's my job. John knew that was his job. Our job is the same, to let other people know about Christ. Do I know that my purpose is the purpose that John had? John's purpose, when you read this down in verse 7, says that he came to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Do I know that my purpose is like John's purpose? That I need to want to help people to believe in Jesus? What will I do today? Ask yourself this question. What will I do today to help other people to believe in Jesus? Not what do I want to do, not what should I do, what will I do today to help other people to believe in Jesus? And then, am I like John? Look in verse 8. Am I like John and realize my efforts, they're not about me? It says about John, he was not that light. John was not the Christ. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Christianity is not about us. Christianity is not about others looking at us about how great we are. Well, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. No, I want to be like Christ. And John comes along. Look down in verse 20. Look down in verse 20 where he's asked in verse 19. John's asked, who are you in verse 19? And he says in verse 20, I'm not the guy. I'm not it. I'm not the light. I'm not the Christ. Who am I? Verse 20. Look at verse 23. Who is John? I'm the voice. Not that television show that you watch that has all of those people singing. That's not the voice. He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm not anybody other than the voice that's pointing people to Jesus. Do we have that same mentality? One of the songs we have in our songbook, we don't sing it very often, but one of the songs that's in the songbook says, let the lower lights be burning. It's a nautical song. It's talking about those lower lights on the seashore so that those ships coming in can see where they're going. But that's all that I am. Jesus is the light. I'm just a lower light that's supposed to help others to see Jesus Christ. When people look at me, do they see me or do they see Jesus? Can you imagine the popularity that John the Baptist had? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, all of Judea and all of Jerusalem was coming out to him to hear him preach and to be baptized by him. He had a lot of followers. Had a lot of disciples, but he said, I'm not the guy. And he was continually pointing people to Jesus. Am I like John? Am I continually pointing people to Jesus? As I look at John chapter 1, as I think about Jesus being that light, as I think about our responsibility, both individually as Christians and collectively as a congregation, that our responsibility is to help all people to come to know Christ, to come to believe in Christ, to come to be saved by our Lord. As I think about that, I think about what next Sunday is for this congregation. And if you're a member of this congregation, you know what next Sunday is. You know that next Sunday is not just January 26th, but that next Sunday is our Mission Sunday. And Mission Sunday is a highlight of our year. We start off the beginning of the year with one of the major highlights where we emphasize the mission work of this congregation. Where all of those years ago, our elder said, what more can we do to help take the gospel around the world? And they came up with Mission Sunday, where as you see at the bottom of the screen, every dollar that's given next Sunday, everything that's given next Sunday goes toward the mission work of this congregation this year. So the elders have sat down over these last few months. They've looked at various works that we are involved in, looked at various works that we could be involved in. And they've laid out for us what we always look at this time of year, just the challenges of Mission Sunday. To see what could we do in mission work this year? What opportunities? And many of these are things that we have done before, and so you're going to see some commonality in things that we have done before and what the elders want us to have an opportunity to do again. But as we talked about last week, Mission Sunday is not about us. And we cannot say that enough. We can't say that enough. Mission Sunday is not about us. It's about us being lower lights. Being lower lights that are pointing people to that light. Helping people to come to know Christ and being the ones who would help people to understand that He's the only Savior. He's the only one. And I invite you to come back tonight, by the way. We're going to look at some of these other verses in John chapter 1 tonight to talk about Jesus and who He is and who He was. He is the only Savior. And so that's our job, to help people to see that. And so as we talk about Mission Sunday is just an opportunity for us to be a reflection of that light, to let others here in this area, in this country, and around the world to get to know Christ. And so for just a few minutes, I want to share with you the challenges, the opportunities that our elders have for us this year. And it's amazing, as you think about the history, as we talked last week about our Mission Sundays, to think about how much this congregation has given every year. We used the word sacrificial last week to talk about Mission Sunday. And every year there's a spirit of sacrifice that characterizes this congregation and what we give. So much so that we, on average, have given 10 and 11, 12 times as much as we would normally give on a regular Sunday, indicating just where the heart of this church is. The heart of this church is wanting to take the gospel to the world. And so if you're visiting with us today, bear with us as we talk about this, but you're going to see some big numbers on the screen. You're going to see numbers like 139,500. Wow. I mean, just to think about that number is huge. But this congregation has heard that number and bigger numbers from our elders over the years, and they've met the challenge on Mission Sunday and have said, we want to do even more. When we first started Mission Sunday, what we would call the base, what we would call the works that we were already involved in, was at 50,000. This year, what represents our base down here, the works that we're already committed to doing this year, is not 50,000 anymore. What this congregation is committed to do already this year is $139,500. What does that involve? If you've been a member of this congregation, you know much of what that involves. It involves helping a missionary over in Nigeria by the name of Nana Afforji, who we've been helping for the last 30 years. We helped to convert him back in the early 90s through correspondence courses, and now help to support him in preaching the gospel in Nigeria. It helps to support a missionary by the name of Tamuka in Zimbabwe. I don't know if you know anything about what happens in the country of Zimbabwe. You need to count your blessings about where you live. To read the reports about what's going on and has been going on in Zimbabwe from a government standpoint, and the oppression that the Christians face there, but not just that. Over the last two years, the drought that they have very little food because of the drought that they've been facing. And yet Tamuka, he sends almost weekly emails to the elders to let them know about the work that he's involved in And always, I want you to look at these pictures. Can you imagine going to worship? Can you imagine going to Bible class this morning and you were sitting on the floor? You'd be like, I'll be watching online. Yeah, you okay. That's where, and that's not where they always are, but that's one of their Bible classes, just sitting on the floor. And this is his wife sitting with children outside, having a Bible class outside. And I'm not saying they have benches, not pews. They have benches that they'll sit on for their worship assemblies. But we get to be a part of helping Tomuka over in Zimbabwe. One of our favorite missionaries here is Robert Martin, who we've been a part of supporting for the last 40 years and the work that he does out in the Pacific Islands. You know, if you're a member of this congregation, just how sacrificial Robert has been throughout the years in all that he's done in taking the gospel to so many of those islands, establishing congregations on so many of those islands out in the Pacific. And not just Robert, but in recent years, we've started supporting Wayne Parker, who was doing work out in the Pacific as well. But just in the last couple months, just about 2 months ago, Wayne went to Cyprus. And we mentioned this last week, but Cyprus is an interesting place. And Wayne is going to be splitting his time between Cyprus and the Pacific. And he's splitting his time, one, because he's needed in both places. He's splitting his time, two, because he's not allowed to stay in Cyprus more than 6 months. He's not a citizen there, so he cannot stay there. So he has to leave the country. But I want to read something to you. This was Wayne and I were emailing this last week, and I just want to share something with you that he said in an email to me this last week. He talked about how in Cyprus, and think about your Bible map, right? That's what you're thinking about, your Bible map in Cyprus, because he's where Paul went, right? He's where Barnabas is from. So, but Cyprus is divided into the north part of the island, which is Turkey, run by Turkey, and then the south part of the island is owned and run by Greece. So there's two independent states on this island, and he's trying to preach in both parts of this country. But he says, he's talking about in the north side, he says, meeting in the park. They don't have a place. Let me back up one sentence. We're somewhat stuck, he says, until we secure rent for a church building in the south. Meeting in the park has been working in the north, but it can sometimes feel too public. And so he says, there's people walking by and there's different loud noises, he says, and it just makes us sing a little bit louder and we keep going. But I want you to listen to this part. Let me scroll down here and find this in this email. The people on both the Greek and the Turkish sides are wonderful. We're establishing relationships and engaging in meaningful spiritual discussions. We're conducting multiple studies in the north and laying the groundwork for some in the south. These pictures, he's outside conducting a study in the north, and this is where they're having a worship. They don't have a place to worship inside, so that's where they're worshiping outside. He says, as we expected, most people we encounter on both sides, north and south, only attend services on holidays, if ever. Listen. It seems religion is more corporate participation than a personal relationship with God. To most, the idea of personal Bible study or religious devotion outside of a building seems strange and foreign. And then this last sentence. It is quite strange to be in a place where the concept of a missionary is completely unfamiliar to almost everyone we meet. Can you imagine being in a place like that? Trying to talk to people, trying to teach the gospel in a place where the idea of who you are and what you're doing is totally foreign. I'm thankful for Wayne and his family over there trying to teach the gospel to people who so desperately need it. I'm thankful that we as a congregation get to be a part of the work of Tavaro Hanna over just a few miles east of us over in 8 Mile Rock in the Bahamas. And you, Tavaro was here just a few months ago, and you got to hear his report. His great family's there on the left-hand side of the screen. just a tremendous family, great. And by the way, we mentioned his wife's going to be speaking on our Ladies' Day in April. A very difficult work that they're involved in, and yet Tavaro always has such a very positive attitude in what he's doing. For the last several years, for the last 12 years probably, we've been supporting Mauricio Yegros down in Coral Springs. They established a Spanish-speaking congregation down there, and actually they now have a bilingual service that's going on. But you see his family on the, what side of the screen is that? The left-hand side of the screen with his little kids who are a lot of fun. But they're such a great family and doing a really good work and establishing a place where they can even have the Bible classes for the little kids. We get to support Robert J. Lupo's uncle, Robert C. Lupo, up in Sneedville, Tennessee, and in a very impoverished area of Tennessee, and yet Robert has been such a diligent worker there for so many years, and is just, he's doing a really good work in a really difficult place, and yet, again, such a positive attitude and really making a difference there. And we mentioned this last week, but and talking about what we have done, but just being able to be a part of the work at Apologetics Press. And you may recognize a couple guys on the left-hand side of the screen in that group picture that was taken just a couple months ago up in Montgomery. Dan McLeod and Richard Watson were up there to meet with them, and so they took a group photo of the folks that work there. But the resources that they put out, like the Bibles, these evangelism Bibles that are out here on the table for you to take and to give away to people. Their website is probably the best website that you're ever going to find, with just, it seems, almost unlimited resources there to help people. And we need to be letting others know about this great group. But what a joy it is that we get to be a part, just a little part of what they're doing. And then every year we've got a group that goes from here, our senior high youth and some adults who go to a variety of places. This is pictures from their trip last year. Don't you feel sorry for them having to go and see such pitiful scenery such as that up in Salmon, Idaho? But we get to be a part of going and helping a congregation there. And so this year, as a part of Mission Sunday this year, we've got another trip that will be coming up. I'm not going to tell you where it is, where they're going, but if you would like to be involved, there's a limited space for adults to go on this. We want to make sure our senior high are able to go on it. And senior high, this is highlight. This is something you need to be a part of, going on this trip, life-changing for you and for those people you get to work with. But this is a part of our Mission Sunday this year, mailing out house to house, heart to heart, around this community is something we've been doing for a lot of years. We've reduced the circulation of it so that we can do more of these other works, but it's going around and rotating routes around our building here, trying to hit about 1,800 homes every month. And we put copies of that out in the lobby for you to take. It's just one of the most fantastic publications that's out there. It's so simple, always has such encouraging articles from the Bible, always teaches people how they can become a Christian, and we're excited to be able to mail that out. I'm going to talk more about that here in just a minute. But what was started here back in 2021 maybe is one of the most exciting things our elders have come up with, and that's what's called Answering Macedonian Calls. And it's that effort, and you know about this, it's that effort that involves Josh Blackmer and Dan Jenkins going to a variety of places where congregations have called and asked for help. The Answering Macedonian Calls is biblical. Acts chapter 16, there was a man in Macedonia who was asking, come over here and help us. And so there's places that have, that when they have heard about this, the congregations who have called and have asked for Josh or Dan to come, and so they've gone to these various places. Obviously, Josh right now is down in Paraguay, and I'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But Josh spent some time up in Idaho this past year. He spent 3 months in Cherokee, North Carolina, this past year. He's going to be going up to Montana for 3 months in this year in 25. He'll be spending 3 months, you heard his report last week, spending 3 months up in New Hampshire. And so those are congregations in this country that that have heard about this, smaller congregations who have various needs. And Josh and Kara are able to go and park their RV there for about 3 months and help work with them and encourage them. And Dan Jenkins has been all over the place with a variety of congregations as far as Michigan and Ohio, going and preaching the gospel meetings and lectureships and leadership workshops. And so Dan is lining up more for this year, but Dan told me to tell you that he can use your help on this. Some of you know of other congregations around the country who could use it, and it's absolutely free to those congregations for Dan to come in and to preach a gospel meeting, to conduct a leadership workshop with the men or the elders. And Dan is fantastic at doing those, and with his wealth of knowledge and just his wealth of experience from all of these years. And so he has benefited so many of these congregations where he's gone. And so if you know of congregations that can use that, then let them know or let Dan know about that. But this Answering Macedonian Calls is just so exciting that the elder said, you know what more can we do to help brethren around not just this country but around the world, planting the gospel in other places? And then the last thing on what we call our base of Mission Sunday here, the last thing is just what we've been able to be a part of on Easter Island. And we mentioned this last week, how Josh has been there 17 times. He'll be going there again in a couple months. And so this is in the base. The elders have already told Josh, we want you to go to Easter Island even before we've had Mission Sunday. Even before we've got the money to pay for Josh to go to Easter Island, the elders have said, no, we'll get the money. We want you to go there. And so he's going to spend a week there here in next month helping to continue to teach the gospel there and encourage those folks, those Christians there. And so continue to pray for them. Imagine being in the most remote part of this earth and you're only one of four Christians on the island. Would you feel isolated? Would you feel like you're on your own? Keep them in your prayers. Keep Josh in your prayers as he travels. So the message from our elders to us as a congregation is that we need $139,500 just to cover those things that we've already committed to do. And again, those of you who are new members or those of you who are visiting today, you look at that and you say, what in the world? Are you kidding me? They're asking for that much money? Our elders are only asking for that much money because this congregation has exceeded that amount every year. That's how much this congregation loves mission work. And so our elders say we need that much to cover our commitments. But then they've said, well, what if we could give more than that next week? What more could we do in taking the gospel to the lost? And what we always have near the bottom, near the base, and so if we can give $151,000 next week, then what we always have here on this level is the elders are always getting requests from people to go on mission trips. Some of those are college students. Some of you have benefited because you were a college student, perhaps, and you were going on a mission trip, or you weren't a college student, but maybe you were a part of the Latin American mission work that's done by the church up in Valdosta. Some of you have gone with them to Latin America and different places on mission trips. And so various people from other places have written the elders, written this congregation, asked for some form of support to go on those trips. And so our elders like to be able to help people to go on mission trips. And so that comes out of Mission Sunday. Also a part of this $151,000 is actually what Josh and Kara are doing right now, and is being able to go down to Paraguay. And so for the next 8 weeks, Josh and Kara are going to be down in Paraguay. And again, the elders were forward thinking and they were forward promising to say, nope, go ahead down to Paraguay. We'll make sure that we have enough money to cover your trip to go down there. But those of you who know Josh and Kara, you know their hearts. Josh and Kara are not in it for themselves. I mean, that thought is just totally foreign. Their hearts are for people. Their hearts are for taking the gospel wherever they can go, and whatever that involves. And so they love the people down in Paraguay where they were missionaries for 5 years, and getting to go back there and continue to work with them about once a year is such a blessing. But if we're able to give this $151,000 next week, then we'll be able to cover even what they're doing right now. But what if we're able to give more than that? What if next week we're able to give $162,000? Well, we'll be able to do something that we've been doing for these last several years. We talked about Robert Martin down here in our base. We've been supporting Robert Martin as a missionary for almost 40 years. But something that Robert started about 30 years ago is something that's called Pacific Islands Bible College. He started a Bible college in the Pacific Islands. But instead of the students coming to the college, like most colleges work, he takes the college to the students. And so the Pacific Islands College travels to the various islands, which means that the teachers of the college travel to the various islands. But those teachers come from the states. And so for the last several years, Dan McLeod has been able to go out and to teach as a part of this Bible college. And so the elders want to be able to continue to do that, to continue to be able to cover the travel of those teachers who are going out, like Dan McLeod, going out to teach. Those plane tickets, Dan, they're like $4,000 or $5,000 for a round-trip ticket, something like that. Can you imagine a round-trip plane ticket costing $4,000 or $5,000? Well, you're going to the other side of the world, to nowhere in the Pacific, you know, but it's going. But there are souls on those islands who need what is being taught. So the elders want to help those teachers to get there. Our elders, and I meant to put this picture up there, and I forgot to put that up there on what they're doing in those various places. But our elders also, if we can reach this level, they want to be able to get some of these evangelism Bibles and to share them with other congregations in South Florida. These are such a great tool to be able to take into easily what you're able to do today, to pick one up and to take it and to give it to somebody that you know either doesn't have a Bible, needs a Bible, that you've been trying to reach with the gospel, to take that and to put it into somebody's hands. You see on the screen what it says right there on the Bible itself, that it's not just the Bible, but there are special sections in there that answer some of the most fundamental Bible questions that people need to know. And so the elders want to be able to send some cases of these Bibles to other churches of Christ around this area so that they can have that same ability to take them and pass them out where they are. The elders believe that the Bible is what is needed. The elders believe that Jesus is that light that we need to point people towards. And these Bibles are a great way to do that. What if we could reach a little bit more? What if we could reach $167,000? I know that sounds like, and it is, a ton of money. The elders love In Search of the Lord's Way television program. And it's on TV, it's online. Many of you watch it on a weekly basis. If you've got Dish or DirecTV, it's on the GET station network. And so being able to watch that, not just on the television, but to be able to watch it online. Phil Sanders, who's been here in our gospel meeting and in lectureships a number of times, is the host of that program. But it costs about $9,000 or $10,000 per day for this television program to operate. And our elders believe it's one of the best things that's out there for people. And it's reaching millions, hundreds of millions of homes. So our elders want to continue to be able to support that where we can. And they also believe in this work that's being done out of Searcy, Arkansas. It's called Truth for Today World Mission School. We've talked about this a few times over the years. But this is just, and I called them last year to just confirm this, because the numbers just, they don't seem to be real. But every month, this Truth for Today World Mission School, every month, they mail out teaching and preaching materials to 30,000 preachers around the world. And most of these, maybe all of them, are outside of the United States. They are men in other places in the world that have not gone to a Bible school. They are not trained in teaching the Bible, but they are men who want to teach and preach in wherever they are, whatever villages they are. And so they're just sending them these materials to help them to learn the Bible and help them to teach and to preach the Bible. They're mailing it out to 30,000 places in at least 10 different languages. And just a few years ago, they added some online capabilities, but a lot of the places where they're sending this still don't have online capabilities. And so the elders just are astounded by what they're doing and just think, we ought to be a part of that. We ought to be able to help this work to continue and these pieces to continue to be mailed out all around the world to all of these preachers. And so what a fascinating work that we get to be a part of. So the elders, they're challenging us today to say they'd like us to be able to do that. And then the elders today are saying if we can reach $175,500 next week, which is the highest that this has ever been. Last year's was the highest that it had ever been. Last year was 12% higher than anything we'd ever done. This year is 6% higher than even last year's. And I know you're a visitor here, you're a new member, and you're thinking, what in the world? It's not possible. This congregation, the people in this church, they believe in the gospel. They believe that the light of Christ is needed around this world. And so the elders have said, if we can reach this level. A few years ago, we had to cut back on our circulation of house to house, heart to heart around this building. And our elders said, we want to expand it. Within 1 mile of this building, there are over 15,000 residences. That's a lot. Over 15,000 homes within 1 mile of this building. And the elders would like to touch every single one of those homes with an issue of house to house this year, to let them have an opportunity to know the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't wait 4 months. John 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Look around just within a mile of this building. Jesus says, it's white. It's white unto harvest right now. And those teachers who are going to the Pacific Islands, they need to make multiple trips out there. And so the elders would like to see us be able to support more than one trip for those Bible college teachers to go. And so they said, if we can reach this level, we'll be able to support even more trips. I know you look at this and you think, that's a lot of money. Oh, that is a lot of money. $175,000. But the Bible says that everything on this earth belongs to God. Every cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. Every animal, every person, every dollar on this earth belongs to God. And so what this congregation gives on Mission Sundays is not even ours to begin with. It belongs to our God. And our God sacrificed His all for us. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't say, when He looked around heaven, He didn't say, well, let me see if I can find something cheaper than Jesus to send. I don't want to send, I don't want to make this kind of a sacrifice. Let me send something cheaper. He sent the very best. He sacrificed the greatest of heaven, the Son of God, for us. There's people around this world who need the light of Christ. Somebody says, what if we do more? What if we give more than the 175? Well, if you've been a part of this church, then you know that our elders, they always go back to the drawing board, and they'll find more for us to do with every single dollar that is given. This world needs the light of Christ. And what we are His lights on this earth to point people to Him. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, we've spent the last several minutes been talking about exciting things. We've been talking not about our work or about our mission. We've been talking about your work. We've been talking about your mission. Father, please help us to keep ourselves out of the way. Please help us to recognize this is not about us, that these dollar amounts are not about us and about our money. This is all about you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be used by you. We thank you that we just get to be an instrument in your hand, that we can be those lower lights that are shining to point people to the greater light of Christ. Father, please help us individually to look within our lives, to look within our hearts, to examine what you have given to us, and to consider what we are able to give next week in order that your gospel might be spread even further and reach even more souls than it has before. Father, we're excited. We're excited to have elders who have vision, to have elders who want to see us to do more, not for our glory, not for our credit, it has nothing to do with that, but for your glory and for your credit. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to give for you. Father, as we look forward to next week, we pray that everything that's done might glorify you. Father, we love you. We need you. We pray that you will use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close our service today and as we close this lesson, we talked from John chapter 1 about Jesus being my light. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is not just my light, the Lord is my salvation." Is he your salvation? Maybe you've seen his light. Maybe you know what you need to do, but is he your salvation? Have you done what the Lord says you need to do in order to be saved? This is the message that this congregation is trying to get out to the whole world through our Mission Sunday. That the whole world needs to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And with that faith in their heart, to make a decision to repent of their sins, to turn away from the wrong in their life, turn their life in the direction of Christ, and to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do exactly what they did in the New Testament, to be saved, to be baptized. Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. Have you done that? Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized, wash away your sins." If you've been waiting to be baptized, why are you waiting? Why don't you arise today and be baptized? Have all of your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. We're going to sing a song that says, "There's power, not in the water, there's power in the blood of Jesus. It'll wash away your sins today." And then he calls upon us to live a life faithful to him, walking in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, with the light, Jesus Christ, serving him faithfully. If you're not where you need to be today, if you don't have the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, then why don't you come right now, make your life right with him, as together we stand and sing.